Hello, it's Ben Barrell here, and welcome back to Bob Dylan Album by Album. This is not a new episode of the podcast. It's something a little bit different. We'll get to what it is in just a second. First, though, I wanted to thank some people for buying coffees at the end of the last series. Hello, Cyan Morris. Hi to Brian in Ireland. That's very non-specific. hi to NEO and hi to Ian W, who bought loads of coffees. Very generous. Thanks for that. Richard, thank you to you. Another Ian, Ian M this time. Hi to Tommy Byrne and Eamon McGuinness. And hi to Gregory. And hi to Hugo and also Tom Wills. And finally, hi to Kiefer as well. Thank you so much for that. If you enjoyed the last series of the podcast and you want to buy me a coffee, there's a link in the episode description of this episode. So I thought I'd bring you something a little bit different. I mentioned this at the end of the last podcast. I thought it'd be nice to bring you an episode of a different podcast I've done called Long Player, which is pretty much the same as this, but I'm focusing on albums that aren't just from Bob. This is an episode looking at Joni Mitchell. Now, I'm guessing that if you are a fan of Dylan, then you might just be a fan of Joni's work. This, in particular, for me, is an album that sounds quite similar to some of Bob's recordings. Not always in terms of sonics, although obviously they do share similar sonics with the acoustic guitars and some kind of vocal performances. But I feel like this album comes from a similar place as a lot of albums from Bob do. I think albums like Blood on the Tracks, especially, and maybe an album like Desire, this album isn't a million miles away from those in terms of its kind of emotional disposition, to not sound too pretentious. So I hope you enjoy the episodes. Without further ado, let's bring you a look at 1971's Blue.
Born with the moon in Cancer, choose her a name she will answer to.
The 70s were a golden age for singer-songwriters, and at the start of a decade, we were gifted an album that would encapsulate everything that's great about the genre. Its songs are raw and personal, the sonics are delicate without ever being boring, and there's a chilling accuracy to the depiction of such heavy feelings. The LP came from Joni Mitchell. At 28 years old, she released her fourth studio album and her masterpiece. She called it Blue. This is the type of album you can dive into. It demands your attention. This is not something you can just passively listen to. The lyrics draw you in like all good writing, and like all good writing, you can't take your mind off them. It's rumoured that Bob Dylan loved it so much that he even referenced it on his own masterpiece, Blood on the Tracks, with its now famous opening song.
Tangled up in blue.
Blue is an LP with a strong identity. The songs are all related in theme and sonically, but importantly, they never all sound the same. It's a hard sound to describe. It's, I guess, blue. That's the obvious way to describe it, but it's the best description of what's going on here. There's a coolness to the tracks, perfectly captured in that image of Mitchell on the album's front cover, shot by photographer Tim Consoldine. She's bathed in a blue light, her eyes are half closed, and she's looking deep in thought. And the tracks really do match that. They're downbeat, but they're not completely dejected. They're melancholy and thoughtful. They're blue. This blue theme is continued whilst moving through the album's lyrics, as we hear about icy rivers, a cold Paris, and the blues themselves many, many times. However, despite this, the record actually begins in warmer climes. While on the Greek island of Crete, staying in Metalla, Mitchell wrote some of the songs that would appear on the album. This journey was the backdrop for the songs Kerry and California. But the journey detailed on the album is not just a normal journey. It's a journey of trying to get somewhere physically and mentally. Just like we saw in the last episode of this podcast when looking at the Led Zeppelin song, which, funny enough, was inspired by Joni, these songs and much of this LP has a feeling of trying to escape on it. I'm on a lonely road and I'm travelling, 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 looking for something, what can it be, is the album's opening line. We also hear about wanting to go to Rome on the track Kerry. There's obviously a flight on the song This Flight Tonight, as well as a narrator saying she wants to skate away on the song River. There was even a cut that didn't make the final track listing called Urge for Going. It ended up being Joni's first song to achieve commercial success when recorded by country singer George Hamilton. We also hear about a man trying to run away to the West Coast on track 3, Little Green, whilst on the 6th song of the album, all this goes into overdrive. The aforementioned song California is the best depiction of what is going on during most of the album's lyrics. Mitchell sings about that trip away to Crete in the lines, "I met a redneck on a Grecian isle who did the goat dance very well. He gave me back my smile." Which gives the impression she has escaped the US and her former life for a little recovery, but now she's ready to return. And this is confirmed when she sings wistful lines about the West Coast state in the chorus. She even expresses the depth of her longing for California by singing that if she ever goes back there, she'd be willing to kiss a policeman, despite considering herself a member of the counterculture.
I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss a sunset pig. California, I'm coming home.
In the final verse, things get a little bit more serious as she sings, "It gets so lonely when you're walking and the streets are full of strangers," which signals the fact she has decided to return home. This song also gives an indication as to why our narrator is travelling so much. This is an album about escaping, but more than that, it's a record about love. Almost every type of love is covered here, from the touch-and-go nature of early love in All I Really Want and the lyrics, "Do you want to take a chance? Maybe find some sweet romance with me," to that love being realised in My Old Man with the lyrics, "He's my sunshine in the morning, he's my fireworks at the end of the day." Two other moments where things aren't going so well, like on the aforementioned track Kerry, which is track 4 on the album. This song is linked with the track California. As we've already heard, both were inspired by Mitchell's time in Crete. They act as a travel log of that trip, but also they depict a relationship too between Joni and Kerry. Kerry, although the spelling is different, is actually a real person. He was living in a cave on the island as part of a hippie commune. Speaking to the Wall Street Journal in 2014, he says, "I think Joni arrived in late February. We met either while I was watching a sunset or when I was blowing through the door of Delafini's, a bar where I cooked. I knew Joni was in town. There was a buzz among the 50 or so hippies who lived there in the 30-odd caves on the cliff. There was a buzz that a famous singer had come to the fishing village. I hadn't followed her career closely, so I really wasn't sure who she was." Mitchell frequently introduced live performances of the song by recounting anecdotes between her and her Cretan lover. It's striking how open and autobiographical Mitchell is on the song, even when it's not always particularly good. In fact, on first listen to the album's more personal tracks, Kris Kristofferson is reported to have said, "Joni, you've got to keep something to yourself." In the song, Mitchell details her relationship slowly falling apart. She's kept in the town with Kerry for love and for their hedonistic lifestyle. There's a lot of drinking going on too. On the second verse, Joni sings, "And we'll laugh and toast to nothing." Later she says, "Let's have another round for the bright white devil who keeps me in this tourist town." Before later, she starts pining for her home and her home comforts. Her feelings for Kerry shift as the semi-repeated line of, "Oh, you're a mean old daddy, but I like you fine," changes by the end of the song.
I said, "Oh, you're a mean old daddy, but you're out of sight."
But why was he so mean? He says again in that Wall Street Journal article, "Looking back, I wasn't so nice to her, or to anybody for that matter. I was a little hard on people around me." He goes on to tell a story about how he put her down and constantly undermined her. Kerry's appearance on the track California is much more brief. As I mentioned before, Joni sings about meeting a redneck on a Grecian isle who does the goat dance very well. She says he gave her back her smile, but he kept her camera to sell. Later she sings, "Oh, the rogue, the red, red rogue. He cooked good omelets and stews, and I might have stayed on with him there." It would appear she is still fond of him, but he's not really to be trusted. Whilst he is only mentioned in the song once specifically, you get the impression he is the sole reason for our narrator going back to California. She is done with this little European fling. What I love about the lyrics in this song is their structure. They have a really nice symmetry about them. For example, looking once again at those lines on Kerry, Mitchell sings, "He gave me back my smile but kept my camera to sell. Oh, the rogue, the red, red rogue." The rhyme of rogue isn't paid off until we get through a chorus and get to the next verse, as Mitchell sings, "Went to a party down a red dirt road. There was lots of pretty people there, reading Rolling Stone, reading Vogue." This symmetry is repeated with the lines like, "I'm your biggest fan" in an earlier verse, with "strung out on another man" in a later one. The longer structure of rhymes makes for a satisfying listen. Joni's delivery is also brilliantly conversational. Going back to that Christofferson quote, it's very autobiographical. She even throws in lines that don't quite fit, like "that was just a dream that some of us had" from verse one, or yet again that line about Kerry keeping her camera. These act as a little aside to the story, something that she also does in the opening lines of A Case of You. It sounds like she's telling a tale at a party, and then she's sort of turning to someone at her side and giving a little detail, like she's doing a routine, a "this happened and then this happened and then you'll never guess, he took my camera too" type of thing. Listen to how she throws these lines in.
"I met a redneck on a Grecian Isle who did the goat dance very well. He gave me back my smile, but he kept my camera to sell."
The guitar you're hearing in this song is from James Taylor, a regular performer on the album and another muse too. The music of the song is pretty representative of the album as a whole. It's straightforward until you look under the hood and actually see what's going on. It sounds simple on first listen, but there's a fair amount happening here. The opening riff of this song is anchored in singer-songwriter-sounding guitar strings. There's some neat little hammering on and pulling off of the strings that then evolves into a tango-type verse structure as Mitchell starts her vocal.
"Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace a chance. There was just a dream some of us had."
That tango-type melody of the verse is unexpected coming straight after that riff. But the opening riff itself isn't without quality. It's played on an Appalachian dulcimer. That's the instrument that sounds a bit like a guitar, but a little thinner. It has a sound not a million miles away from a ukulele, except it's a bit fuller and less warm. Joni uses it a lot on the album, and it really gives the record an even firmer identity to an already solid bass. It isn't so alien that it overshadows the songs of a singer-songwriter nature, but it does give some variation compared to a lot of other records from acoustic guitar-playing singers, and God knows there were a few about in the 70s. The thinner sound almost feels like a guitar that's been put through an effects pedal. It sounds like we're only hearing the output from a tweeter, but it also gives a fragile, more homemade sound. The strings ping with a bit more roughness than an acoustic guitar, fitting those lines about our nomadic hippie traveller perfectly. The instrument is used to its full potential on the album's opener, All I Want, as it plays the song's main riff. That bass drum line is also a big part of the song's sound. It throbs like a heartbeat, framing those lovelorn lyrics of "I want to talk to you, I want to shampoo you, I want to renew you again and again. Applause, applause, life is our cause." These lines are rumoured to be about James Taylor, and whilst the song is not without its sore points, it's also fairly positive. "All I really, really want our love to do is bring out the best in me and in you too," Mitchell sings. The whole arrangement is full, surprising considering the small amount of instruments used. These two different sounding guitars create a unique and rounded sound that even manages to be quite bombastic. They duel towards the end of the song, creating a thudding bass sound. That Appalachian dulcimer sounds great at the end here, and it also shines on the seventh track, This Flight Tonight. It gives a slack, weighty sound to the tune, accompanied by some great slide guitar. The song tells of Mitchell's regret. She's on a flight having left a lover behind, and she now wishes the plane would turn around so she can return. Once again on the LP, we're hearing a song about being trapped and wanting to escape. Mitchell is flying over Vegas, looking out into the night, talking of her lover. Just like with Kerry, he feels like he's fierce at times. It paints a picture of a love that is tender but fiery. She sings, "You've got the touch so gentle and sweet, but you've got that look so critical." Later, she's hitting boiling point with her longing, and nothing can help. She sings, "I'm drinking sweet champagne, I've got the headphones up high. I can't numb you out, can't drum you out of my mind." The opening lines in this song are interesting too. As she looks out into the blackness, Joni muses about the northern star. "I saw a falling star burn up above the Las Vegas sands. It wasn't the one that you gave to me that night down between the trailers. Not the early one, the one you can wish upon, not the northern one that guides in the sailors." The northern star is also present in the album's most famous song. In the opening lines to this classic, Mitchell makes a joke. She announces, Just before Our Love Got Lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be at the bar.
Just before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar.
It's one of the best jokes in music, and it's inspired by the Shakespeare play Julius Caesar, apparently. It's so cutting and witty and wry, it acts as a perfect opener to the track that has lyrics that are so good you get absorbed by them. That Appalachian dulcimer is back on this song. In fact, it's the only instrument for the first minute or so. It just goes to show you how much of this album is led by it. The drumming on the song is slight. It comes from session musician Russ Kunkel, whose lightness of touch is crucial to the song. And whilst the song's production is classic blue, in that it's light but never lightweight, the lyrics are the star of the show here. These, for me, are some of the best the genre has ever produced. Of course, it's a love song, but we don't get lost in schmaltzy lyrics of affection. Instead, the song's chorus lines are stunning whilst refusing to be overly sentimental. Oh, you are in my blood like holy wine. You taste so bitter and so sweet. I could drink a case of you, darling, and I'd still be on my feet. On first impression, the title of the song suggests our narrator is ill because of a loved one. A case of you sounds like she's been struck down with a case of flu, say. But by the time we actually reach the titular lines, we realise the object of her affection is being compared to a case of wine. This analogy is perfect. I could drink a case of you and still be on my feet implies addiction to this lover. Like, in the same way an alcoholic is obviously addicted to alcohol, our narrator has built up a tolerance to her lover in the same way that an alcoholic can drink much more than a non-alcoholic and still function. This implies a long-running affair full of exhaustion and dependency. This also feels like she's saying she's still intoxicated by him, but it's different now. It's not just love that's there. There's underlying problems and years of life that also has an effect on the relationship. Something we see in the lines, you taste so bitter and you taste so sweet. We also see that in the lyrics as Mitchell talks to her lover's mother. The mother appears to suggest her son needs our narrator, but it's not an easy relationship. She sings, I met a woman. She had a mouth like yours. She knew your life. She knew your devils and your deeds, and she said, go to him. Stay with him if you can, but be prepared to bleed. It's a love song that is, in classic Mitchell style, brutally honest. Apparently it's about her breakup with the musician Graham Nash, but it's also claimed that it could be about Leonard Cohen. Whoever is the inspiration, Mitchell's words boil down a complex set of feelings into three verses and three choruses, creating a masterpiece in the process. It's so good that it can be transformed into different formats and still pack a punch. I particularly like Prince's piano version from his wonderful album One Night Alone, as well as Mitchell's re-recorded version with a jazz tinge for her LP Both Sides Now.
Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine, and you taste so bitter, and you taste so sweet.
As if the tune needed another highlight, her vocals in the blue cut of the song are great. She once again, just like in California, has a little vocal aside. Whilst telling her story, she throws in lines like, if you want me, I'll be at the bar. This, apart from becoming an album characteristic, manages to add a little improvisation to the melody. I'm not saying this was a spontaneous thing in the studio, but these little vocal deviations make sure the melodies of these tracks never feel restricted or formulaic. Her vocals shine bright pretty much on the entire LP, especially on the album's piano ballads. In the title track, she appears to reference that Christofferson quote as she sings, songs are like tattoos. There's been speculation that this song was about a fellow songwriter, David Blue, who was a friend and possible love interest of Mitchell's when the album was being made, but she's denied the connection. There's even more weight to say it's about James Taylor. Joni and James had a brief but intense relationship. It began in the summer of 1970. She would visit him on the set of his movie Two Lane Blacktop, a trip that is said to have inspired parts of the track This Flight Tonight. Later in the year, they had done a benefit concert together for a fledgling environmental organisation called Greenpeace. At the concert, they played Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man. He jumped in when she forgot a verse, and you can see the chemistry forming instantly. She would later say, "I fell for him right away because he was very easygoing and very free-spirited. We shared a lot of similar interests and common ground." Taylor fell for Joni too. He would write poems and love letters to her, and he once said, "She is so sensual and free with her body. She's like a goddess of love." However, it was not meant to be a long-term relationship. Taylor would get lost in the weeds of depression, leading to a stay in the famous McLean Hospital in Massachusetts, which also treated Sylvia Plath and Ray Charles. The depression led to heroin addiction, which Joni would witness and support him through, but would forever strain their relationship. This feels like it could be the inspiration for the lines in the third verse where Mitchell sings, "Underneath the skin, an empty space to fill in." And then in the song's bridge with lines about acid and booze.
"Well, there's so many sinking, now you gotta keep thinking you can make it through these waves. Acid, booze and ass, needles, guns and grass, lots of laughs."
As we've already heard, Joni was incredibly candid on this album. It acts as a diary at many points. So given those lines, it doesn't feel particularly out of place to say that this song might be about Taylor in parts. And those candid stories from the album were captured at A&M Studios in Hollywood. It was a former space for Charlie Chaplin, but in the early 60s had become one of the most sought-after recording spaces. Burt Bacharach and Quincy Jones and Cat Stevens and many, many more cut songs there before Joni. She recorded Blue in Studio C. The Carpenters were recording in Studio A, and Carole King was recording Tapestry in Studio B. It sounds like everyone was taking cues from everyone else. King writes in her memoir, A Natural Woman, "A constant stream of singers and musicians and friends and family flowed in and out of recording studios along Sunset Boulevard. At A&M, we commuted down the hall. Sometimes we commuted between A&M and Sunset Sound. That was just the way it was." And it was during these sessions that Joni used alternative tunings on her guitar. But not just that. That's not unusual for a guitar player to do that, but Joni went one step further. She made her own tuning arrangement. This allows easier access to different chords and notes in an unexpected combination. There's even a section on her website that details how to play some of her songs. For the tuning section, there's an entire page dedicated on showing you how to tune your guitar like Mitchell's. It's entirely unique. These days, retuning your guitar is quite commonplace. Everyone from Coldplay to Dylan does it, but Joni's involved lowering the lowest string to E like everyone else, and then working out the other strings and what sounds different but still harmonious. And speaking of the guitar, one of the album's heaviest guitar songs is also its least blue-sounding. Whilst we offer piano ballads and acoustic guitar singer-songwriter songs laced with that Appalachian dulcimer for most of the album, on track 3, Little Green, we have a straight-up folk song. The reason it's different sounding to most of the record is the song's origins. They go back much further than other tracks here. In fact, it goes back to the previous decade where Joni encountered a situation that informed her whole songwriting career. In 1964, Mitchell discovered she was pregnant by her then boyfriend. She wrote, "He left me 3 months pregnant in an attic room with no money and winter coming on and only a fireplace for heat." She would later give birth in February 1965, but soon realised she couldn't raise the child, so she put her up for adoption. This song is about the whole experience. In the opening verse, we hear lines about choosing names and hope for the child's future. In the second verse, we appear to have a reference to the child's absent father as Mitchell sings, "He went to California, hearing that everything's warmer there. So you write him a letter and say, her eyes are blue. He sends you a poem and she's lost to you. Little Green, he's a non-conformer." The father here is painted out to be a non-conformist, unable to commit to a family, always on the road. The chorus lines are amongst the saddest in an already despairing song. Mitchell sings about taking crocuses to school tomorrow as she muses on the baby's future and her hopes for her. This is then continued onto the third verse. We've already seen how Joni on this album, and to be honest, in most of her work, has no filter, but here her lyrics are even more raw and fiercely personal than usual. It goes to another level as she sings, "Child with a child pretending, weary of lies you're sending home. So you sign all the papers in the family name. You're sad and you're sorry, but you're not ashamed. Little Green, have a happy ending."
Child with a child pretending, weary of lies, you are sending home. So you sign all the papers in the family name. You're sad and you're sorry, but you're not ashamed. A little green, have a happy ending.
That child with a child pretending line details how Mitchell herself is still a child, not knowing what to do. It's an incredibly poignant verse. The whole episode remained private for most of Mitchell's career, although obviously she discussed it here in this song and also in the tune Chinese Cafe from her 1982 album Wild Things Run Fast. In that song, Mitchell sings, "Your kids are growing up straight. My child's a stranger. I bore her, but I could not raise her." The story actually came out to the public in 1993 after a former roommate of Joni's sold her story. By this time, her daughter had already begun the search for her biological parents. The pair met in 1997. The reunion was described as a natural feeling. Mitchell would then go on to meet the adoptive parents that raised her daughter, and they would become part of each other's life again. After the reunion, Mitchell said that she lost interest in songwriting, and she later identified her daughter's birth and her inability to take care of her as the moment her songwriting inspiration had really begun. In an interview with Q on CBC in 2013, when asked why she started her music, she said, "Because I got pregnant." It's not out of place to say that perhaps all this longing on Blue and in all her work can be traced back to that hardest of situations of a mother giving up a child. This could be demonstrated in the fact that in the 23 years after the reunion, she's only made two albums of original material. Because Little Green is such a personal song, you can't help but get an incredible vocal from Mitchell in it. She fills every note, and that comes across to the listener. Due to the fact that it's a finger-picked lo-fi folk song, we don't get an overly big vocal from Mitchell, but its quiet passion is captivating. We do get a bigger sounding vocal though on track 8, River. She delivers a knockout performance that is measured but exceptional.
I wish I had a river so long, I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away.
Once again, this song is supposedly about Mitchell's relationship with Nash. And once again, there's a fair amount of escape in the song too. We've already discussed this with the refrain of "I wish I had a river to skate away on," but it also goes deeper elsewhere, especially when Mitchell sings, "I'm going to make a lot of money, going to quit this crazy scene." Interestingly, in the penultimate verse, Joni blames herself for a relationship breakup as she admits she's difficult. The lines are, "I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad. Now I've gone and lost the best baby that I ever had." It's a lonely ballad set at Christmas. It's not a Christmas song, just a song from the festive time of year rather than for it. It somehow makes the whole thing sadder though, especially when it's combined with that downbeat piano rendition of Jingle Bells that's weaved in and out of the song, and for some reason a performance of a song that is usually upbeat and then slowed becomes just that bit more mournful, especially a tune like Jingle Bells with its relentless rosy outlook. There's another song that apparently concerns her relationship with Nash, and that's the album's second track, My Old Man. This, unlike other songs on the album that are supposedly about him, is a much happier affair. It's almost like we're seeing the relationship at different times in these songs. In case you've lost track, apparently A Case of You along with the track River are thought to be inspired partly by him. Whilst A Case of You appears to come late in their time together and River is a reflection after it's all over, this feels very much like it's at the beginning. She's never too harsh on Nash in any of the songs despite the obvious heartbreak. In fact, it appears they're still friends today. He attended her 75th birthday concert, as did James Taylor. We talk over a relationship in this song, and we do it again on the album's closing track. But it appears to be a different relationship. In The Last Time I Saw Richard, Mitchell is speaking to her first husband. On the official Joni website, biographer Karen O'Brien believes that Mitchell revisits her marriage to Chuck Mitchell in the song. They married in June 1965, but it would end in early 1967 with Joni moving to New York City. In the opening lines, she sings, "The last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68, and he told me all romantics meet the same fate someday. cynical and drunk and boring someone in some dark cafe. Which paints a great picture of an aging artist who never made it, rambling on half drunk, slowly going mad. That wasn't to be Joni's fate, of course. After the demise of the relationship and moving to New York City, she played various venues up and down the East Coast in cities like Philadelphia and Boston and Fort Bragg in North Carolina, frequently in coffee houses and cafes, which could be where the song's final lines about hiding in cafes alone comes from. The song acts less as a song and more as a three-verse poem that's set to music. The first two verses detail an encounter between the former lovers catching up after years apart. It would appear that Richard isn't in the best of shapes. "You've got tombs in your eyes, but the songs you've punched are dreaming," Joni sings. She's saying he looks old and unwell, but he's still a dreamer with the songs he's put on in the cafe. In the final verse, we hear about Richard's life, and again, it's not great. "And he drinks at home now most nights with the TV on and all the house lights left up bright," she sings at the start of that verse. Joni then appears to be alone, reflecting on all of this. The final lyrics in the song are great. "I don't want nobody coming over to my table. I've got nothing to talk to anybody about," she half barks, before telling us she's only a dark cocoon before I get my gorgeous wings and fly away. Only a phase, these dark cafe days. Even on the final lines of the album, despite a lot of time and relationships passing, Joni is still looking for escape. But at least it's positive. Here she's telling herself this state of mind, this moment is only temporary. She knows that one day she will be comfortable, happy, and perhaps even contented. Perhaps even in a solid relationship, perhaps even with her daughter. At least that's what she hopes. One day life will blossom into a beautiful butterfly. This song feels like a final diary entry. It's once again raw and personal and doesn't hold back, but it does leave you with some hope. With Blue, Mitchell wrote the quintessential singer-songwriter's love album. She details heartbreak and love in the most frank and personal way. She put her life into her art, unlike anyone else, and in the process, she created some beauty out of a whole lot of pain. Thank you for listening to this episode on Joni Mitchell. If you want more from my other podcast, Long Player, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts from. We cover quite a few different records like The Clash and London Calling, Radiohead, OK Computer, a Vampire Weekend album and an Arctic Monkeys album, which I found really interesting. As I say, go and seek it out if you get 5 minutes and you're interested. Bob Dylan Album by Album is my first love and it will return very, very soon. Keep an eye on our Twitter and Instagram at Bob Dylan Podcast to find out when it returns. In the meantime, thank you for listening and goodbye.
A Fueled by Coffee production.